But let's get an inside view of what's going on in Boston with the Celtics. Jeff Clark joins us from SB Nation. How are you, Jeff?
I've been better.
Yeah. I mention this because every time I want to break down these games, and I want to put it in a basketball sense, there is this overriding emotional factor of Isaiah Thomas suffering the loss of his younger sister. How has that played with him, and how has that played with the entire team?
Clearly, there's no way to know. It's such a topic and such a situation that transcends basketball that there's no way of knowing how this, you know, impacts the basketball, nor does it ultimately really matter. I mean, it's more important than any of this, and it almost seems to be, we should almost be asking the question, how is basketball interfering with, you know, Isaiah Thomas dealing
good
with
point.
This tragedy, you know? But, you know, from a selfish standpoint, from a, you know, sports-centric standpoint, it's got to be a confusing factor. It's got to be a distraction for him to a certain extent. It's a distraction for the rest of the team, but not I don't mean that in a negative way in any way or anything like that. It's just an issue that's out there.
In terms of his availability for the first game, I'm amazed that he played. I'm amazed that he played and scored 33 points. But because hindsight's 20/20, at the time that they were figuring out what this meant for him personally, how comfortable was Brad Stevens with the idea of letting Isaiah Thomas play amidst this tragic cloud that was hanging over his head?
Well, you know, I wasn't there. I wasn't in any of the conversations. But everything I've heard about it, all the quotes that came out from Brad Stevens and the rest of the team indicated that, you know, all this was done with the utmost care and thought towards whatever you need, Isaiah, you do. And we are going to be supportive of you in whatever you need and whatever you do, whatever decision you make. So there was absolutely no pushing of anything on him, and it was left to him to make his own decision. And that's not just, you know, saying that it's not and meaning something else. They legitimately were fine if he didn't want to play, but he chose to. And I think that this was kind of his way of coping with the loss and kind of finding his own solitude in basketball. And he's always been, you know, being who he is in terms of being the small guy who's counted out. And there's always people telling him he can't do something. I think perhaps that, you know, he once again used basketball as a way of saying, no, I can do this. I'm fine. And I will rise above despite what anybody else has said or what has happened.
All right. Jeff Clark joins us, SB Nation, on the Celtics down 0-2 in the series against the Chicago Bulls. All right. So game one, there's the emotion of that, but they lose, you know, by 4 points. And then game two, I thought they would bounce back and they didn't. Did you see any adjustments at all from game one to game two? Because Jimmy Butler is killing them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was completely uncharacteristic of the Celtics to just lay down like that and to come out and just not. I mean, immediately they came out, you know, guns firing and really hit a lot of shots early on and did very well. And the Bulls immediately bounced back and immediately pushed it back. And every time the Celtics started getting a run going, you know, the Bulls seemed to have an answer. The biggest thing that hasn't changed, unfortunately, is the rebounding problem, and I'm not sure how much you can do about that at this point in the season. There's no 7-footer, 280-pound guy that's going to come out of the woodwork and just create rebounds for you. The team has to gang rebound, and they have to box out, and it's about effort and focus and determination. And even then, sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way. So, you know, they've done a good job of defending Jimmy Butler for the most part. He's a star, so he's still going to get his points. He's going to have his streak where he breaks out. But you know, they're doing the best they can to slow him down. It's the other guys. It's the Portises of the world and the Zipsers of the world that are killing the Celtics. And that's always been a problem because I think they make these decisions to lock in on certain key guys. And if the other guys beat you, so be it. And it just turns out that the other guys are beating them and pretty pretty frequently, too.
They won 53 games during the season. They are the one seed in the East, and despite the fact that Cleveland may have sort of fell apart a little bit, that's what Boston got that. They earned that. But in terms of the completeness of a team, Is this still a work in progress for the Celtics? Are they where they're at, or did they? And they got a chance to get a great pick in the draft. How complete are the Celtics as a one seed?
Well, they're certainly not complete. Nowhere close to it. And even heading into the season, I think we all had aspirations of doing better in the playoffs and getting more wins. As just in terms of progression and adding a guy like Al Horford, but nobody, at least in circles where I was involved, nobody was considering this a complete package, a championship team, a championship contender, if you will. They're always seen as like one or two pieces away, whether that be through trade or free agency or the draft or something like that. And, if you remember, it's only been 3 years since the team was, high in the lottery of their own right. And now they have, went into the offseason or went into the postseason as being the one seed and having the best chance of the one overall pick. So they're in good position still going forward. And in terms of building a team and building a lasting team, but it's to be determined how they're going to do that, whether it's continuing to focus on the draft and build organically, or if they're going to make a big trade, pushing some of those assets into the center of the table and grabbing a star, an established star right now.
Brad Stevens is 2-10 in the playoffs, but he's a young guy, and he just got into this league a couple of years ago. Are those numbers concerning, Jeff, or is there something behind those numbers that sort of makes it okay when Celtics fans go, well, there are circumstances behind this and I'm fine with?
Certainly there's circumstances, and I mean, you can take four of those losses and attribute it to the fact that the first year that Stevens was in the playoffs, they probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs. They overachieved greatly in order just to get into the playoffs and put up a pretty good fight as an eight seed going against or whatever seed that they were going against LeBron and the Miami Heat. The Cavs. So right away, the first four losses are just, they were expected. They were the low seed. Last year's a little bit more upsetting, just because it was, they were pretty evenly matched with the Hawks. They did have a key injury in Avery Bradley, and that plays into it. But ultimately, it was a bad matchup, and they didn't win that series. No one really cared ultimately. But it's a little bit more concerning right now, just because they are losing, and they obviously are the favorite team. They should be winning these games. But I don't think you can put all that at the feet of Brad Stevens. He still has what he has in terms of a lineup and matchups that he can use, and he's got a team that was given to him by the GM that just doesn't happen to be performing right now. So I'm not laying the blame in any particular person's feet. It's not Danny Ainge's fault that they're not getting rebounds, although he could have given them a rebounder. It's not Brad Stevens' fault that they're not making rotations, although he maybe could have done some things better. I think everybody across the board deserves a piece of the blame pie, if you will, and they're just not stepping up in this critical time to do so.
Jeff Clark, SB Nation on the Celtics. Game 3 of that series coming up on Friday in Chicago, and the Celtics have a 0-2 hole to get out of as the number one seed in the East. Jeff, great stuff. Hope to talk to you again. Appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Take care.
You got it.